A songbook to accompany this presentation is available on our Downloads and Resources page.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Amen. Back in 1977, Dick Ballou, who later became known as Father Richard Ballou, a blessed memory, came to Tennessee, where I was living at the time, to conduct a weekend retreat with Father Peter Gilquist. During that retreat, I had an opportunity to sit down with Father Richard and tell him that I was a musician and ask if he could think of any particular song or hymn that needed to be set to music. He said in his thick Texas accent, yes, the Trisagion. And I said, the what? He said, the Trisagion hymn. It's one of the oldest hymns in the church. And I said, how does it go? And he said, Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. And I said, man, that doesn't sound like a song to me. So I didn't try very hard to set it immediately, but by early 1979, I had moved out to Santa Barbara, to Goleta, and I was living out in Isla Vista with the community there. And I had set this hymn to music. I went over to Father Jack Sparks' house, and I sat down at his little spinet piano in his living room. It was stacked high of books. There were books all over his house. And started to play this for him. Holy God, ways and unto ages. Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal One, So when I finished, I looked up at Father Jack and I said, well, what do you think? And he said, well, I think even I could sing that. By 1978, we were beginning to develop a more liturgical style of doing things. We didn't really know what we were doing, but Looking back on it, I would have to say it was rather simple in a way, but we were reading accounts in the early church of a more liturgical style of worship than the more spontaneous style that we thought was there in the book of Acts. Justin the Martyr, St. Justin, who lived in the 2nd century from 100 AD to 165 AD, described the worship of the early Christians in this way. And this is from his First Apology, chapter 67. And on the day called Sunday, all who live in the cities or in the country gather together in one place, and the memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits, and when the reader has ceased, the president verbally instructs and exhorts the assembly of those good things. Now, the memoirs of the apostles was an ancient way of referring to the New Testament scriptures. Then we all rise together and pray, and as before was said, when our prayer is ended, bread and wine and water are brought, and the president in like manner offers prayers and thanksgivings according to his ability, and the people assent, saying, Amen. And there's a distribution to each and a participation over that which thanks has been given. And to those who are absent, a portion is sent by the deacons. And all who are well-to-do and willing give what they think is fit. And what is collected is deposited with the president, who helps the orphans and the widows and those who are in sick or other cause or in want, and those who are in bonds and strangers and sojourning among us. And in a word, takes care of all who are in need. And so we wanted to present certain, we'll call them catechetical concepts to the people in song, thinking that it would sink more deeply into them if they learned these concepts and these teachings in song than if they were just presented in lecture. That we were ascending in worship into an eternal saving event outside of time. That the preaching of the word from the Holy Scriptures was a washing and a preparation for something greater. That is, the communion of the body and the blood of the word. That is the Logos of God, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. That as a royal priesthood and holy nation, we were to intercede for the whole world in the unity of heart and mind, and not just for our own individual needs. That in passing through the veil of time into eternity, we were to join with Christ in the once-for-all offering to the Father of His body and blood, to give thanks, which is the meaning of the word Eucharist, and in so doing to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God and to feast on His resurrected and glorified human nature in Holy Communion. And that in partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we were partaking of the power of Christ. In other words, although the bread and wine were a symbol, they were not merely a symbol. And so here are three hymns that were included in what we affectionately called at that time our Justin Martyr liturgy, because we were trying to pattern off of what we were reading in his apology. These three songs, the Song of Ascents, the Offertory, and the Fraction.
We have shut.
It is right, it is good
to ascend to the Lord.
Let us intercede as priests before the Lord.
As we pray our heart and mind in one accord.
It is right, it is good. It is good.
Let us worship the Lord.
Amen. What
acceptable offering that we offer to God. Nothing but the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Let us offer.
People.
During this same period of time, our leaders had developed a teaching series called Angels, Saints, and Martyrs. And through them, we became familiar with the lives of the saints. The saints who hid and worshiped in the catacombs of ancient Rome. The great martyr, Ignatius of Antioch, who was thrown to the lions. St. Polycarp of Smyrna, St. Justin the martyr and philosopher, St. Irenaeus of Lyon, just to mention a few, but just a few of our favorites too. And we thought, why haven't we heard of these saints before? Could we learn from them? Could we be like them? Could we join with them around the throne of God in that timeless gathering? And after enumerating the lives and sacrifices of all the saints of old, in Hebrews chapter 11, St. Paul says in chapter 12, verse 1, since, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here is a song to the fathers written by our own Father John Stephen Hedges, Josh Hedges. You want to sing along, please sing along. If you have the music in front of you and you want to sing with us, you join right in.
The song we're now singing is the song that you sung, hiding in the to the lines you kept your testimony true. My heart is blessed by the memory of you. Once lost in pride and haughty for the table that you set, I became an orphan and beggar and forgotten. the lines you kept your testimony true. My heart is blessed by the memory of you. The voice you heard and spoken of speaks even in our day. By example you have taught us how to follow and obey. And pictured at the table in everlasting face to face. I long to share my promise for in praise. The song we're now singing is the song that you sung. I hid the catacombs and keep on the run. Home to the lions you kept your testimony true. My heart is blessed by the memory of you. My heart is blessed by the memory of you.
The New Covenant Apostolic Order was established in 1973, and this order or association of clergy, mostly formerly out of Campus Crusade for Christ, had committed themselves to establishing churches that bore 12 characteristics, and I'd like to read those. First, grace. Second, true community. Third, vision, meaning by that we reflect the kingdom of God and express the church Catholic. We were called to be a light shining in the darkness of a fallen world. Authoritative and serving leadership. Care, seeing and hearing from God. Good works. Godliness, orthodox theology, worship, the blessed hope, meaning by that we look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and 12, Catholicity, meaning by that we long for the Church of Christ to return to a state of unity which will show the world that He is Lord. These things, just keep in mind, these things were written 14 years before we were received into the communion of the church. In an attempt to summarize in song these 12 characteristics, along with our developing understanding not only of the celebration of the Eucharist as sacrament, but also baptism, oil of holy unction, ordination, and the like, as also sacramental blessings in the church, Deacon Doug King composed several songs, and he composed them in a succinct way that only he could do. He couldn't read or write music, but he certainly was a poet, and he could play the guitar and come up with a melody. And I would go over to his upstairs apartment and sit down at the piano and play along. And then I would write down the music for him and establish the lead sheet and a chord chart so we could play it together. Deacon Doug had, and still has, the ability to summarize rather complex concepts, events, and sacraments in just a word or a phrase. Here are only three of many of the kingdom songs, as I like to call them, that he wrote during the late 70s and early 80s.
Now when you give breath,
While in Nashville, after graduating from Oklahoma Baptist University in 1975, I moved to Nashville and I was there for 2.5 years. And I had befriended a very talented studio musician named Shane Keister. And I would have to admit that it was fun and a privilege to accompany the songs at the Grace Fellowship in Nashville, now St. Ignatius Orthodox Church in Franklin, Tennessee. His wife, Alice, was a lyricist, and one day she handed me a set of lyrics that she called Worthy is the Lamb. And I set it to music, and we sang it often there in Nashville. And you can tell from the lyrics, as you follow the lyrics, that they were receiving the same teaching in Nashville from Father Gordon Walker that we were receiving out here in Goleta from Father Richard Blue, Father Jack Sparks, and our own Father John Braun, who is present with us this evening. So among the other things I loaded in my 1967 red Volvo sedan to make my trek from Nashville to Goleta was this song. There's a sweet and peaceful feeling coming over me, a warm oil and soothing to my soul. You're so near to me, Jesus, comforting my heart. I see it all so clearly, what I had only seen in part. The dark veil is lifting, and I smelled a sweet perfume from the prayers of all the saints who call your name. And it's joy born of sorrow, remembering how I, blinded by my foolish pride, almost passed you by. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And brings eternal life. You give to this undeserving child. There's no tear that falls unnoticed, no grief you cannot bear. You're the life I'm going home to, and the way that leads me there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Praise. We were also learning to recognize many hymns and creedal statements in the New Testament that beforehand we had not recognized as anything other than scriptural prose. For instance, St. Paul says in his letter to the Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We discovered that this was actually an ancient hymn in the early church at every baptism. Another was the creedal statement from 1 Timothy 3:16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory." Sounds almost like the Apostles' Creed, doesn't it? For people who didn't believe in creeds, we kind of choked when we found a creed in the Scriptures. This was set to music by David Way in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now, Father David Way, pastor of St. Constantine Helen Orthodox Church in Indianapolis, Father David was Deacon David at Saints Constantine and Helen when Father Joseph Morris was the pastor and when Father Joseph went to the monastery and to become the abbot there, Deacon David was ordained to the priesthood and now serves there as pastor. Common confession.
God who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed upon the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory.
In addition, we here in Goleta have been particularly devoted to and inspired by the writings of St. Athanasius the Great, Patriarch of Alexandria in Egypt during the 4th century, the champion of the true faith against the wicked opinions of the famous heretic Arius. When he was only 18 years old, he wrote this Christian classic entitled On the Incarnation of the Word. And while a student at St. Athanasius Academy of Orthodox Theology, which was at that time located here in Goleta, Santa Barbara, we studied this work, and I tried my best to summarize what he had taught us through this work in the following hymn entitled Praise to the Incarnate Word. In addition to his work on the Incarnation, we also carefully read through paragraph by paragraph, which was our habit in those days, whenever we were studying any work, St. Athanasius' resurrection letters, which he sent out each year to announce when Pascha, or Easter, was to be celebrated that year, and also the beginning of the Lenten fast. In one of his letters, he spoke of the women who were given the privilege of announcing the resurrection to the disciples since they had all abandoned the Lord at his crucifixion, except, of course, St. John the Evangelist. And while we were reading I was doodling on a blank sheet of paper on the left side of my booklet. I found this the other day, rumbling through stuff. So while we were reading, I was writing. So I was doodling, and I drew out a musical staff of five lines, and I wrote out the music and the lyrics to the following song. It was written in such a way as to give the women the privilege, once again, to announce the proclamation of the angel to the men that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Along the way, we had to come to grips with the fact that the long-standing tradition in the Orthodox Church was a cappella. And so we began singing less and less with the musical instruments and more with the unaccompanied voices. We hoped, really, that the inaudible voices of the angels would undergird our feeble attempts at praising God. In 1979, the New Covenant Apostolic Order, which had never seen or understood itself as a new denomination, did in fact become a denomination. But with a specific intent of being received or absorbed into something greater than ourselves. I think it would be fair to say that the Evangelical Orthodox Church was established with a twofold purpose. One, to become visible to the Christian world, and two, to cease to exist. If we could somehow be received into the communion of the Orthodox Church as a whole. During this time, we entered into a serious dialogue with Father Alexander Schmemann, Father John Meyendorf, both professors of St. Vladimir Seminary in New York. They asked Archbishop Dimitri in Dallas, Texas, to come out and spend some time with us here in Goleta, and he came out several times. He was somewhat reluctant to suggest any profound changes in the way we were doing things, at least on the front end. But he preferred instead to fill in the blanks where we didn't have any established tradition. He asked, "What do you do on Saturday nights in the church?" Of course, he knew the answer. "What do you do on Saturday nights in the church?" We shrugged our shoulders and we said, "Nothing." Bishop Dimitri kindly responded, "So how would you like to learn to sing Vespers?" And we said, "What's that?" And so here are a couple of locally composed hymns that came from Bishop Dimitri's introduction of that service of Great Vespers on Saturday night, which we introduced here in our community in 1979, and which we have not ceased observing until this day. Did we lose power? Still unplugged. Yeah. as our trust of Bishop Dimitri and Father Alexander and Father John Meyendorf grew, it was suggested that we begin to observe the Eucharist, the time of the Holy Communion, according to the rite of the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. And although we were ready at that time to, we're not ready, actually, to give up our time of our synaxis, you know, the first part of the liturgy of the catechumens, the liturgy of the word, we were still kind of holding on tight to that. We wanted to sing all these songs. At the same time, we were ready to lay aside the bulk of our Justin Martyr liturgy, as we called it, in favor of the anaphora section of the Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. One thing missing from our Justin Martyr liturgy was the hymn to Mary, in which she is called Theotokos, Mother of God, not implying that she was the mother or the birth giver of the divine nature of God, but that she was, but that it was truly the Son and Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, whom we worship together with the Father and the Son, that was in her womb, taking on human flesh. This hymn can be found in what we affectionately called the Red Book. You remember the Red Book? Some of you remember the Red Book. This was, I think the best description would be kind of a hybrid of our Justin Martyr liturgy with the Liturgy of the Faithful from the Chrysostom liturgy, and our first serious move towards embracing the Chrysostom liturgy in its fullness. When you present, it is truly right. One of our conversations with Father Alexander Schmemann of blessed memory, who died in 1983, he asked a very poignant and deeply emotional question. He said, "Well, will you accept just one thing from an old lady?" And we said, "What's that?" Of course, the old lady is the church. He said, "The Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom." And we loved him. Whew. Although it wasn't easy, it was difficult in many ways. But we had to die to ourselves if we were ever to be received into something greater than ourselves. And we said yes. And on Christmas Eve, 1984, a little over a year after Father Alexander's departure from this life, we did in fact institute the entire Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom and we've never turned back from it. Still, we were struggling with all the prose hymnody. At least, it was prose in English. Maybe it was metered in the ecclesiastical Greek, but it was prose in English. Father Jack had rhymed and metered hundreds of these prose hymns so that we could use familiar hymn tunes that we had grown up with from our evangelical and Protestant churches. Some stuck, most didn't. Here are two that stuck, at least for a little while.
Lady worthy of all honor, more than all the cherubim, glorious beyond all measure, more than all the seraphim, birth you gave him without defilement to God's only Son, the Word. Mother of our God, most blessed, may our song to you be heard.
After a failed attempt at receiving direction from the Ecumenical Patriarch in Istanbul, or Constantinople, if we cling to the ecclesiastical title, we shortly entered into the most serious dialogue yet with Metropolitan Philip of the Antiochian Orthodox Christian Archdiocese of North America. And while these formal talks were going on, we were receiving liturgical help under the cloak of darkness from our OCA brothers, Father Thomas Hopko, Father Paul Laser, Father David Anderson. And they helped us to fine-tune our celebration of the Divine Liturgy, and a few more liturgical hymns were set to music during that period of time, especially 1986. At that time, I was still composing to a large extent according to the manner in which I was trained. That is, most of what I composed was in classic meters, like 3-4 time, 4-4 time. And I would sometimes add a word or contract a word for a smoother rendering in that meter. One such example is receive the body of Christ. The text is receive the body of Christ, taste the fountain of immortality. Alleluia. I didn't think it would be a big deal to add the word Jesus and sing receive the body of Jesus Christ, taste the fountain of immortality. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. To my astonishment, I discovered over the course of time that as other churches adopted this and wanted to sing it, they removed the word Jesus in order to make it conform to the liturgical text. And when asked why they did that, the usual response was, well, the bishop won't let us sing it if we say Jesus Christ. And, well, heretics that we are, we still sing receive the body of Jesus Christ here at St. Athanasius, and lightning hasn't struck us yet. Yet, yet.
Receive.
In 1994, our sister church, where we were all chrismated and received into the communion of the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church on February 8, 1987, St. Michael Orthodox Church in Van Nuys was celebrating the 25th anniversary of their founding, and Metropolitan Philip celebrated the hierarchical liturgy that day. They had lost their choir director just a few weeks prior to this grand occasion, and I was filling in as choir director that day. At the end of the liturgy, Metropolitan Philip, in his usual manner, in his deep voice, I would like to thank Father Timothy and all of the servers, the parish council, the chanters, the choir, and Archdeacon John Finley for directing the choir this morning. You didn't make any mistakes. But why didn't you sing the blessed be the name of the Lord that I like? And I ask, which one is that, Your Eminence, the one you wrote? So I said, I bowed to him, I said, we'll sing that at the veneration of the cross after the dismissal. Good. So let's sing it.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
Good.
Good. Good.
Well, that's the story in a nutshell of how we got in, musically speaking. How we got from point A to point B. what happened musically after we were received is a whole nother story. It is another spiritual journey. It's another two-hour presentation. Some here tonight may be thinking, Father John, how could you even imply, much less make any claim, that all these old songs are orthodox? And others may be thinking, why don't we still sing these songs? I don't think I could satisfy myself with an appropriate response to either question, much less satisfy the inquirer. But this I do know, that with these hymns, we learned about and embraced the lives of the saints. We learned how to worship God the way they worshiped God. We learned how to properly honor the Virgin Mary while worshiping God alone. We learned through these melodies the orthodox faith, the faith of our fathers. We learned to trust the church more than ourselves and our own opinions. And we sang our way along our spiritual journey into the communion of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth and will remain until the second coming of Christ and will endure forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.